Okay, good morning. So we didn't cover too much ground last time, but so maybe we'll pick up a little bit where we left off. So on page Ayin Ches, it continues. I don't think we'll do this whole part inside, but maybe just the basic idea. Again, he's been talking again and again and again, and I think the only reason that he's been saying it again and again and again is because it's that important and that basic. That again, what we're working on is this idea of slowly internalizing the basics of emunah, and the only way to do it is by doing it repetitively. And we don't want to skip ahead. So again, with the first point being that we recognize that Hashem is the creator of the world. And the truth is, and I had a little bit more of a slightly more successful week with it than other weeks, you sort of do get into
a habit.
You do get into a habit. Like, mine is going in the car usually, you know, because I spend a lot of time in the car. Mm-hmm. It's a good reminder, you know, while driving. Okay, you know, just, you know, there is a Borei Olam, there is a creator of the world. So again, you certainly do get into a little bit of a routine. So what he discusses right now is, how do you know if you're getting anywhere? How do you know if you've made any progress? And what's the test? What's the litmus test to show if you've actually gone anywhere? Right, as Simon Lekinyan Amiti Shal Nakuda, towards the you know, two thirds of the way
where
down the
you?
Page, Ayin Ches. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you know if you've made progress? So he says, "Anachnu madgishim shuv v'shuv nekudazu." We've been repeating again and again. That the main stumbling block is assuming, you know, we've got it, we've done it, and we're ready to move on. But it's not so simple. But if we get really in touch with ourselves, we'll realize that we have to repeat it again and again. He mentions in passing the story of Rabbi Preda, whose Talmud didn't understand the Gemara, the drasha he was teaching him, and he retaught it to him 400 times. Obviously, he had a lot more patience than I have. But again, the point is that that he realized that with the repetition, eventually he would get it. So sometimes things have to be repeated in order to get them. But he says, in terms of getting the picture, we need to move forward. So it doesn't mean we skip, but at the same time, we wanna see what else are we gonna need to do. We're not ready to put into action the next step. But we wanna look forward, but at the same time, working still on where we are. And the bigger picture is because we want to know where we're headed. But the actual implementation of all this can take years, and again, hopefully, won't be too frustrating along the way. But you know, as you're making progress, it's always makes it a little bit easier.
Right, so it's good that he's going to give us a litmus test to see.
Correct,
how
right.
We
so
know
that
if we've made any progress.
Right, because otherwise we become a little bit frustrated, and especially in the, you know, instant gratification times in which we live, where, you know, we're always ready to move on to the next thing. So we'll skip the next paragraph, and then the paragraph starts Imrotze. Imrotze adam adas and kanas advar vam. So if you want to know if it worked, have you internalized it, or is it just merely on the outside? But it hasn't penetrated the soul. There's a way of testing. So he says, so a person has two different abilities or strengths in order to be reminded of things. There are external reminders, and even the external reminders can be divided into two subcategories. You have the koach itzoni gamor, something completely external, kedugmas shaon me'orer v'chayosebo, right? The alarm clock. So again, to put it into our terms, so it could be that in order for somebody to remember, if they want to remember every half an hour, I want to take the 3 seconds to think, Yesh Borei Olam, there is a creator of the world, so I will, I'm not saying we should do it, but just in terms of the model, I'll have a reminder that goes off in my phone every 30 minutes that reminds me of it. So again, I'm remembering to do it, but it's completely external to me. Right? Again, I'm not, this isn't a suggestion. I'm just, again, trying to just understand what he said.
I thought he was just explaining. This took me a while to understand. Okay. It's true, right?
It's true.
Okay. I thought.
Which proves his point.
Right. No, just this paragraph. I didn't really get what he was saying. But I thought what he's explaining is not that you should set an alarm clock to remind you that there's a Borel Olam, but he was just explaining that there are different ways to remember things.
Correct.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So not saying that's a suggestion, but the same way.
Because that can drive a person crazy.
Correct. Right. We're not looking to increase the anxiety in anybody's lives. The same way that an alarm is something external which reminds you to do something, you could have other externals that remind you to do something.
Like so maybe notes or...
Right. Yeah, or it could be that you walk through the house and you see your sitter, oh, you know what, I'll think Yesh Borei Olam, there's a creator of the... Whatever it is, they're external. But as long as those things are completely external, it's not coming from within you, it's coming when you see external reminders. The same way that there are other things that remind you of other things you need to do. When you see them, you remember
right.
them.
Right.
Okay. It could even be, you know, when you see, you didn't think you wanted, you didn't think you wanted ice cream, and then you drove past Häagen-Dazs, right. and you're like, I want ice cream.
Right.
So you didn't want it, but you saw it, and then remembered, and they're like, okay, that's a good idea.
Right.
So there are external reminders that can remind you to do something. That's one type of reminder. Now, there's also koach haseicha sheragil achshav bedvarim. Then there's also something which is a little bit more internal. It's in your mind, but it's still you know, it's that you've accustomed your mind to think in a certain way. So when you've accustomed yourself to think about something often enough, so that thought will pop into your head. Avasov kosov gamza adayim begeder rov echitzoni, but that's still external.
I didn't understand this until we got to the next part.
Right.
Okay.
So as a marshal here, I think, you can maybe say, the same way that you will think throughout the day without necessarily having external reminders, let's say about a child, about a spouse, about a parent, whoever it may be. Like, oh, you know, and it wasn't a specific reminder, but because those are people that you're always thinking about, they will pop into your mind at different times, and you'll say, okay, you know, I want to call my spouse. I want to, you know, call my mom. Whatever it is. So again, it's not as external as there being a specific reminder, because I saw ice cream, and I know my mother likes ice cream, so now I'm going to think to call my mother. But it's that I just, in the course of when my mind wanders, these are the types of things that I think about. But that's still external to the person's soul, the inner person. What does it mean when something is internal? So he says, the next paragraph, I'll give an example. L'dugma.
Adam shelo achal yom ha-yomayim, a person who didn't eat in a few days. Is it ra'ev or ra'av?
Depends on the specific context. V'hu ra'ev.
That's right. V'hu ra'ev. Tchushas. Harav?
Yeah.
Okay. They need a good dose.
We'll have an old pun afterwards.
That's what we need. Okay. So a person who didn't eat in a few days, he's starving. Tchushas harav shehu chash, this feeling of hunger that he feels, eina novas machma shehu ochel lefanav. It's not, he doesn't have this intense feeling of hunger because he sees food on the counter. Umemela niskar sheyesh Tavar kazeh sheshma ochel. It's not that he's thinking about it and remembering, like, oh, there's such a thing as food, so maybe that's why I'm starving. V'gam lo machmash shoshom huacha v'lachin hu sarech lachol gam hayom. And he's only starving because hu ra'ev mikoach ha-teva ha-pnimi shahaguf ha-doresh mimenu l'sapik lo'ochel. He's starving because inside of him there's, like, an intense...
The body wants food.
For food. You're starving.
Right. It doesn't have to be that you're in mind. It doesn't have to be that you saw the ice cream and you remembered it.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be because, okay, the alarm clock's going off. Now it's time to eat because I haven't eaten since yesterday. Your body yearns for the nourishment, right? Biologically.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But it's something, the point is that, again, and if you juxtapose that to the... Even the other two that we described, it's very different.
Right.
It's not because I often think about food, so now food pops into my head, but it's that it's something that the body desires. And when it's something that the body desires, again, maybe for biological, chemical, whatever the reasons are, so then I feel that yearning inside.
Right.
So Imam Beskirim Shal, yeah.
Imam Beskirim Shal Adam, Achas L'Reva Shal Chatzi Sha'a, these reminders that if these reminders are, if he's thinking about it every 15 or
if it's popping
minutes,
into your heads,
into his head,
or
kind of like an alarm clock. See, my name is Chitzonim. If these reminders to remember that there's Borei Olam are more external, Zehu Siman Shehu Be'emsa Avodah. This is a sign for us that we're doing great. It's amazing, but we still have to continue. We're
right. So meaning it's a progression. So you'll start out.
This goal, like juxtaposed to the feeling of hunger, is not. We haven't reached that yet.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So would that mean, like, if let's say you are observing, like a work of nature, you know, like a beautiful sunset or something, would that be? And then you're like, wow, like. Like, you know, like that sounds like,
right.
Well, so is that like kind of like an alarm clock or like
it's an external reminder. It's an external reminder, and it's a good external reminder. Mm-hmm. But his point is that if we're trying to internalize this connection to Hashem, mm-hmm. you know, what he's claiming is that we can reach a point where the same way that our body yearns for food, mm-hmm. our soul will yearn for Hashem. Again, it's a little bit hard without experiencing it to relate to, but we have that mashal. And the same way that our body needs certain things and it comes without us having to think about anything just because, you know, we haven't had it in a while, so too when the soul has been revealed enough, it will naturally yearn for it. So again, if we're at a point where we have to remind ourselves every so often, you know, there is a creator of the world, so that's, you know, we'll call step one, and that's great. And sometimes that will come because of seeing a beautiful sunset. Sometimes that will come because it's time to daven. Sometimes it will come because I remember that's what I wanted to remember. Whatever the reasons are, when I do that enough, then it will sometimes happen on its own. And that's already what we call step two. That it's something that I think about so much that it pops into my head the same way other things that I think about often pop into my head. That's still not the same as it being something that my soul yearns for, right? That the same way that the hunger is. So that's what he's suggesting here. So again, as long as, you know, if we want to feel that there is progression. If it's something that's starting to pop into our heads more, we'll know that there is progression. We'll know that this is something which, again, even when I'm not trying to remind myself, you know, yeah, let me think that there is a creator of the world, Yesh Borei Olam, but, you know, I'm just, when I'm not doing anything, the same way, you know, thinking about whatever other things I have in my mind pop into my head, if this is something which is popping into my head, that's a good sign that we're making progress.
Right.
But this level of you know, it being something that our soul yearns for inside of us the same way we yearn for food or anything else that we naturally need, that's what he's talking about in terms of something which is going to take potentially years.
Right, so it's just, that's
to
what
acquire.
I was just going to say. So
don't
feel bad. No, it takes forever.
It might take forever.
No, seriously.
No, I don't know if it takes forever. He thinks it doesn't take forever.
Really?
He thinks that if it's consistent, again, but I guess we're taking his word for it
bit. To me, it doesn't sound like the way his approach to everything, it doesn't sound like. Like, okay, so you've reached it, so now you're done. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't sound like there's ever that point.
Right, no, everything...
Like, well, you can always keep...
Correct, no, everything is a continuum, and everything will... But, right. Again, it's a little bit against what he's been saying. I do believe a little bit that there's a tremendous amount to gain, you know, even if we may not get exactly where he is.
Correct.
Meaning, spending the time on this can't not...
You know, make somebody
make an
more
impact,
in tune
right?
To,
make
right,
an impact in your life. You know, if it's you know, part of your routine that is popping into your head even a few times a day.
I think that's
that
amazing.
There is a creator of the world. A, that's amazing, and B, it cannot impact you when you're getting frustrated with something right. That you know every so often, if not every time, it will pop into your head, and then you're like, okay, you know, time for a reset. So again, in terms of so many things, it will make an impact. So, yeah. I don't remember what I was going to say, so you can go.
No, look, I feel like he's setting the goal of where to keep progressing to, which is amazing.
No, and he thinks it's attainable. He believes it's attainable. He really believes
right.
it's attainable.
Does he explain what that is?
What the goal is?
He sort of
did it.
Popping into my head, like, what is more than that?
What more than that? It would be the same way when...
That's what he's going to get to more with the speech, right?
Well, he's always using the speech. We're actually going to get up to step two soon. But what he... I think what he was trying to explain is that the same way you don't have to think about being hungry, but your body feels hunger, there can be a point where we reach where our... Again, I guess we feel it in our body, but our neshamos will want to be thinking about Hashem. We can only use the mashal because we don't have a better example. I can't tell you from experience how that feels. I'm not. We're working together here. I'm not any further.
Does he verbally explain what that?
The only thing which he said earlier, which to me is the best way of understanding it, is when he compared the experience of the soul vis-a-vis Hashem to any other sense. That the same way our eyes don't need to be told to see, but they naturally see, and our ears don't need to be told to hear, but they naturally hear, so too, if our neshamos are opened and revealed enough, they will naturally connect to Hashem.
In a very simple way. I'm saying...
What do you mean?
Not like a... Not in like
oh, we're not gonna no, we're
way,
not gonna be floating.
Right.
Yeah, right. No. On this, right? Correct. No. All this is within the world. That's the best in terms of what he described. That's the best mashal in terms of understanding it, because that's something which we can relate to. Because again, in that sense, in that way, our senses are unique. You know, most things. You know, my hand can't move without me. Again, I don't openly think about it, but there is an element of thought that's happening for my hand to move. My eyes to see is just the way they're built.
Mm-hmm. And I think also like the analogy of senses is good in terms of experiencing it, because you can't like describe to a blind person like what red
exactly.
Looks like.
Well, right, that was like
yeah, he mentioned
a few months ago, right?
Yeah.
Shama, the experience, like,
correct.
You can't describe
to someone who's
perfect. Right, yeah. That's exactly what he's trying to say. So again, to me, you know, I think that if we're at a point where on our own remembering it, and occasionally it's popping into our heads, I think that's tremendous. That's tremendous progress. I'm willing to already go into step two a little bit. Not giving up on the first step. I think the first step is certainly significant. But also, again, I don't know that we're. I mean, maybe you are investing exactly what he, you know, in terms of actually taking a few minutes every day in quiet to think about it. That part I struggle with more. It's much easier for me to do it in the car while driving and sitting in traffic, I guess, then I can sit a little more quiet. But for the occasional thoughts, but he believes, again, and he made it very clear, that it's that initial spending the time seriously thinking about it, which is essential for the reminders that are taking place along the course of the day. But I can't believe that we haven't accomplished a lot if we're doing it even without that. Yeah.
But isn't it with any type of awareness that we place on ourselves? So let's say somebody who is, not healthy eater, somebody who's obese, and they have to lose weight, or, that they might go through, they have to change their eating habits. It's an awareness, learning about healthy eating, that eventually it becomes that they're just going to reach for the apple rather than the candy bar.
Okay, so I don't know if that's true either. Again, if that's true, that's true. But
what do you mean you don't know if it's true?
I have no idea. I've never reached that point where if I had an apple versus a candy bar, I will naturally reach for the apple. I will choose to sometimes.
Right.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying... Good. So if the clearer that is, then the easier this is to understand.
But we all have those things.
What do you mean?
That we were talking about the lollipop. It may not be the lollipop that we will reach for today. It might be the Godiva chocolate.
I spoke about lollipop guy last time. You missed it.
What are you talking about?
The guy who gave you the lollipops on the date, he came up in the last year. Sorry. That's what happens when you're not here.
I still think about that every so often. Like, that was so weird.
Again, the more... you're 100% right. There are many things that
our awareness and our brain
correct.
Has changed.
Right. Awareness can become... And the goal of most times of awareness is to internalize something. That's for sure true. How much one has experienced that in other areas will probably make it easier...
What we're thinking, what we're putting in our thoughts. Our thoughts will change everything.
Okay. Again, the more that one has seen that, then I...
But I'm saying you've seen it. We've all seen it. It's just okay, being aware that we've actually seen it.
Maybe.
No,
it's automatic.
When no, like driving, in terms of changing, you don't even changing think. Your...
You just know.
But right, but that's yeah. But even that is, he's saying something deeper than that. He's saying that it gets to the point where it's no different that my body yearns for something like it does for food. That's more than just being a subconscious awareness.
But she's saying that there are techniques, I think, there are techniques of how to come to that.
Correct, that's what he's been talking about all along.
She's just giving
right.
an example.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly. That's all true. But he's claiming, not again, not that I'm cynical towards what he's claiming, but he is claiming that it can even go a step further, where the same way my body, when it's hungry, yearns for food.
You get there by changing.
That's what he's saying, right?
Right.
So that's what he's saying. He's saying that you can get there. It's hard to imagine that in the spiritual if you've never experienced it. That's why he's using the mushal of the physical. But that's exactly what he's claiming, is that we can get to the point where our soul will naturally need a connection to Hashem, even every 15 minutes to half an hour, the same way we need food every X amount of time. Okay, I think let's skip to Perek Tes now.
Yeah, I think so too.
But again, that's what he, good?
Yeah.
Okay. But again, that's, I thought it was important to mention that because, you know, we do sometimes,
I guess, in terms of what was just said is, does he feel that just doing the externals will bring you to that one internal, or there are techniques to bring you more to the internal?
So he thinks
bring you to the next level, that just like that.
He thinks this formula will work. This formula, again, it's not just thinking. He thinks you need to spend the time having a deeper thought, in quiet and you know, that takes maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Again, we're not talking hours of meditation. And then what he says is every 15 minutes to half an hour having that reminder. I don't know, if that's, scientific. I don't know where he knows that from. Other people, from what I've heard, have done it and it's worked.
Makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty
but
often.
Right. Right. Yeah. So he thinks that's sufficient, that if one does that, but it's over the course of what he says could be months or years. Mm-hmm. And again, and obviously, this can never be divorced from a general performance of mitzvos. That's the given.
Right.
The given is that we're involving ourselves in doing what's right and connecting to Hashem in the ways that are required. But this is a way of deepening that connection. Yeah.
So just because you mentioned mitzvos, so I do think, I mean, this I was going to ask something else, but so I do think that if they're done properly, which I'm not on that level at all, but if they're done properly, that would be the every 5, 10, 15 minutes reminders of...
He disagrees with that.
Really?
Yeah.
If it's done properly, like meaning like in a
yeah,
so that's right. That's what we where said. They're like saying this is L'shem Shemayim and everything is like.
He thinks that there's a specific power,
like the neshama talk,
right? In speaking to the neshama in a way that recognizing the specific thought that there is a creator of the world.
So
now one could maybe include that again. You have to be doing. Your mitzvahs are going to take longer than thinking, there's a creator of the world if you're doing that. Nothing wrong with that. But he thinks that beyond mitzvahs, this is almost a separate avoda that needs to be done.
So that leads into the other question, was that maybe I missed it because it's my first class, but like...
Welcome.
You're saying, thank you. You're saying, like, thinking about that there's a borei olam, but, like, did you talk about that? Like, what that entails? Like, what the...
Nothing more than the fact... He wants to be...
Delving into your mind.
Yeah. No, he wants, again, just the 30-second idea.
Getting to that, right?
Actually, I'll review it again. But
right.
But his basic idea, his premise, is that we want to keep it as simple as possible. That once you just look around and just be able to say the same way this table could not have been... Nobody would think this table could be here without somebody building it. There's no way I could be here without there being a creator. He's comfortable as simple as that. No deep philosophical... He's going to go around with the next thought... is coming up.
So we're going to skip to Atan.
Yeah, I think so. So the beginning of Perek Tes on Pei Beis, the beginning of Perek Tes, he summarizes again what we've seen until now. But let's pick up and try to take it a little bit further on the bottom of the page.
Okay. Ready? Yeah. Okay. Hashlav Harishon Bavoda, the first level of war of Avoda, Shehu Shayach Etzel Kal Yachid V'Yachid, Hu Liyaseid. Etzlo sheish borolam, right? This foundation that there is a borolam. His karnu el b'ksara shasiman lekach shekvar nitan lam shechala, and we want to move on. Hu kasher lo rak maskirim chitzoniem velo rak hergel hamachshava shel asechal tov im la'argesh yesh borei olam. Right, not just that we have these external reminders and that our seichal is reminding us that there's a borei olam. Ela hanefesh atzma tovas la. Right, that the nef that our neshama is demanding this yearning reminder that there's a bar olam. Klamar nefesh tovas dvarim sheish la tshuka alehem dvarim shehi margisha shehi mekabelas mehem chias. That the neshama demands things in general that give it life.
Right. So
and
again,
neshama, right, that the neshama is demanding.
Right. The same way he's going to say this, right. But I think we're going to skip it. But this. Okay. I'm going to skip the next page. The same way that our bodies need air in order to breathe, our neshamos need
this connection,
emuna, this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to be alive. And the neshama desires that the same way our bodies desire what's healthy and what gives it life. So we're going to skip the next page, which is step two.
Step two. Yay. Step two, guys.
It only took like 10 weeks, right?
Right. Heichan nimza borei olam. Where is Hashem? Right. Up, down, down. Mahi anukudah haba'a sha'al ha'adam la'atik. Right. So now we're going to talk about where is Hashem. Yesh bazeh kama drachem. Klomar seder advarim mishtaneh me'adam la'adam. Kol ha'chad lefi ma'as of the dargaso. So naturally, everybody's going to ask questions on his level about where Hashem is. Right? We've established fundamental that there is a borei olam. It's natural that it's going to lead us to ask two questions. Number one, aleph, ma hein midosav shel borei olam. So what? How does Hashem act? What is he like? V'ketzad hein k'shur eselai. And how on earth does this connect to me? Number two.
How does Hashem impact my life?
My life on a daily basis. Number two, based. Heichan nimtza haborei yisbarach. And where is Hashem? We know that there's Bo Olam. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Be'ofen klal yinitan lafleil asad voda b'shnei hakivunim halalu. Va'anu nasu kodem b'nikudashnei. So we're going to start with the second point is, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu located? How do we find Hashem? Heichan nimtza borei olam, ubehemshech nagia gam lenekuda rishona. We're going to talk about where Hashem is, and then we're going to get to how does this impact me. Ma hakesher sheli l'ribono shel olam. Sorry, I should have just read it first. Shezeu inyan avas Hashem v'hashgacha pratis. And we're going to get to this whole connection with loving Hashem and this concept of hashgacha pratis, that everything Hashem does is somehow impacts me and does it for me. Uvechein la'achar shezacha adam la'kir b'sichlo v'nafsho sheyesh bo olam. Once a person has this down pat, that he's able to have these reminders that there is a bo olam, va'af l'kabel eschiyuso mikach, and his neshama is getting its connection to that. Atahu ne'ama v'shoel atzmo. Heichan borei olam nimtza. Where is Hashem? Where is he found? How do I find him? Uve emes shlomo melech alav Hashem kvar amar. Hine Hashemayim u'shmei Hashemayim lo yichal kolucha. V'yirmiyah ha'navi his navi b'shem Hashem. Halo as Hashemayim v'yasaretz ani malei ne'um Hashem. So he's going through different places in Tanakh where it talks about where to find Hashem, right? The Shemayim, and Shemayim in the Aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Haya Hove V'yeya, Atahu Ad Shelo Nivra Olam, V'atahu Mishenivra Olam. Right, Hashem was there from before anything was created, and now that the world was created, that there is a world in existence, Hashem still fills it. V'kmo Shekodem HaBriya, Haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Makom V'chol Zman. Hashem was everywhere before. I mean, it's like one of those concepts that you can, you know, drive yourself crazy trying to think about before anything was created. Where, you know, but Hashem was there before anything was created. Hashem is everywhere, especially after the world was created. In every little place, in every creation, is Hashem. Lesa sar panoi mine. No place is empty from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Right. Okay, let's go to the mashal. Okay, yeah. Okay. So if the
You're
top
faster.
Of Nizbonin rages b'mashal gashmi. So you've got to try to put it into a example that we can relate to a little bit. Well, Adam Yesh, when you have a watch, and you don't remember where you put it. So Ma'o, so what do? Maskil Kapso, so you start looking. So over Magira, so you look in each room, you look in each drawer. Ubodekim Shanimsa Kanolo, is it there? Kashu Mavkimbo. If you see it, Hareya Shonimsa. The watch has been found. Imloroso, Simanja Shalonimsa. If you don't, right, very easy. Vibori Olam. With Hashem, EF Shalahavchim Minayim Gashmi. So obviously, we can't look with our physical eyes. Kilo Yirani Hadam Vachai, we can't see Hashem. And Hashem is Kel Mestat, there he's hidden. EF Shalahavchim Gamlo Lushomo, so we can't see him, we can't hear him. Uvada Shalonitan Mashesh Yadayim, and we can't touch him. So we can't use our normal senses. So Ketzer Evo Nitan Das Hechan Vaboron. So how do we know where Hashem is? So he says there's only one way. Kadela Signa Kudazu Hechan Nimsa Kadesh Baruch Hu, to know where Hashem is, Chayavim Emuna. We have to have faith. Emuna v'divrei Chazal. We have to have emuna what Chazal tell us that Hashem is everywhere, and what the Nevi'im told us. Right? It's a Shemayim v'Saaretz ani Malei that Hashem fills the whole world. So if that's true, in Kain Avoda Sa'adam Menas Lagia LaKar Mitzvah Shebonu Shem Mitzvah Kani Tana Becheder. So now, if we need to work, I want to say, how do I come to a real belief, meaning something that I can feel that Hashem is with me in this room right now? Something that I can feel. So the way Zoe Avoda Shalamuna. So Yasebli Bo Samuna. So we have to internalize that faith that it's true. Achar Shegil Amuna Mitis. Once I believe it, then I can take it to the next level of trying to feel it. Yochal Adam Hargish Shakadosh Baruch Hu Nimtza Beli. Bo Batchilas Hakol Zo Amuna. It starts with Amuna. So how do you do that? So he also gives a mashal. Gam Genitach Mashal Meolam Magashmi. Chivta nimtza b'merachak shel 1,000 kilometers. So if you have an object that's 1,000 kilometers away, adam laroya, so you can't see it. Im yimatzei karov elav, if you have it right next to you, then you can see it. Klomar, iru yes achiv, it's the inability to see the object, novas me'amerachak shebeno levena chivetz. The inability to see the object is because of how distant it is. But if you get rid of the distance, so then I could see the object. But it's not that fundamentally there's anything difficult about seeing it. It's just that there's distance between it. So on the next page he says, Eitzel haribono shalolam, when it comes to Hashem, hasiba shalol ro'im oso, himishum shenemar kilo yirani ha'adam v'chai. It's because you can't see him. It's the vision itself. Adam eino rosei v'ar shalom, mishum shenitzema komploni meruchak. It's not because he's far from you, but because you can't see him. Right, in Shemashmos, the Malkim Himatzu Social Hadam, Yeshat Siva Achas Vichidosh Shemach Masak, there's Baruch Hu. There's only one reason you can't see Hashem, Mach Masahelem Shemitza Benefesh, is because the way that we were created, Hashem puts Himself inside of us. Right? We said that it doesn't know this Chelak Elokam Imal, but it's not something that we can see. So Yishal Hashem in any Rosei Bonoshlam Ichad Chios Beregesh. So if I can't see him, how do I reach the point where I can feel his presence? And obviously, if I can feel his presence, everything is going to be different. You're going to act differently. And that's the Rambam writes that part of the tshuva process is that one should feel embarrassed. Why is it significant that one should feel embarrassed? So I remember Rav Tursky once explained, he said, you know, if you walk into a room and you trip and you fall on your face, so most people, the first thing they do is look around and see if anybody saw. If somebody else sees, then you're embarrassed. If nobody else sees, you're not embarrassed. Why? Because you're only embarrassed when you do something silly, whatever, in front of somebody else. So why is busha fundamental to tshuva? Is because if you don't feel embarrassment for what you did, that's a sign that you don't feel like your Hashem saw. If Hashem saw, then you'd be embarrassed the same way if somebody, or more so, you know, on the level, than if your friend saw. So if the feeling of embarrassment for what we do is really fundamental. So he says, Okay, let's just go to the bottom where it's bolded. La'oras ha'nefesh ha'idei koach ha'dibur, just to give us a little bit of one potential exercise to start off with. So again, if dibor is the key, speech is the key to accessing the neshama, like we said, everything that we're going to do involves speech, V'gam kam nishtamish bosa koach. So we start with the same thing here. So Yoshev Adam Bosa Shashikish Atzos Bonus. So we already have those 2-3 minutes a day where we have set aside, nothing's going to bother us, and we're going to spend the time thinking. So now during that time, instead of just thinking, you know, that Hashem created me and created the world and everything around me, now you can ask yourself a simple question, Heichan Nimtzei Ribono Shel Olam, where is Hashem found? And you can answer, He's right here. He's next to me, because that's what we have to believe that. And we have to, I guess, sort of convince ourselves that it's not just in our minds, but it's something that we can sense. Who shows Atmo, do I see him? I need anybody to roast it. No, obviously not. Do I believe that he is here? Yes. So ani mamin shezekach v'ani lo margish eichach yaseh dvarim. But if I believe it and I don't feel it, so then how's that possible? Right? What's the problem? What's lacking? What's lacking if I know something is true and I should be feeling it and I don't feel it? There's some disconnect. So now he says kach adam mamin l'atzmo sasheilo v'tshuva shona l'atzmo. And the answer that one should be able to answer, is that we're too self-absorbed. If we spend too much time thinking about ourselves, then we don't allow the entrance for God into our lives. If I don't think as much just about myself, and worrying about everything that has to do with, you know, my dalet amos in my house, what's going on in my life, that is the beginnings of being able to understand. And he explains, maybe we'll just do it outside for a second. That's why Hashem says that he can't be in, that he can't, that the person who's a Baal Gaiva, person who's haughty, there's no room for him and Hashem together in the world. What does that mean? It says Hashem is everywhere. So obviously there's still room for Hashem in the world. It says the idea is that person can't possibly
fathom
and feel
the idea that there is Hashem also with him.
Right.
Well, that's like the Igaris Haramban says, everything
exactly.
bad comes from
exactly. So the place to start off with is to begin to think a little bit about being humble and about taking the time to think that even if Hashem is not here, if I spend the time believing it and thinking about it and wanting it and thinking that this is something which is worthwhile and I'm not just going to be concerned to myself, says that's the beginnings. That's the beginnings. Again, it's not finished yet. We're running out of time. But that's the beginnings of taking us to the next phase, of being able to sense, again, now not just the knowledge and the feeling that Hashem is the creator, but that He's with me, He's alongside of me. And if we spend the time, again, with that thought, and occasionally with the thought of that this is something which I desire, something that I want, and I need to figure out how to, you know, make room for Him in my world, then that's the, again, we're not finished yet. Obviously, these things, he's going to explain this in more detail because that's what he does.
That's right, right.
No, but in a good way, then that's the next step in terms of being able to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And the more we sense him alongside of us, then obviously the closer that connection is, and it reinforces the first point of that connection that we're trying to have constantly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.
Thank
have
you.
A good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.